I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's live and local, and my guest today will be Robert Rumbelow, who is the new director of bands at the University of Illinois. He is giving his inaugural concert with the Illinois Wind Symphony on Sunday, the 28th, at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And we'll talk with him about that music and about his first experiences here at the U of I, since he just joined officially joined in the fall, but he actually began his duties this semester. So, Robert Rumbelow, my guest on Live and Local today on FM 90.9. Was music by Richard Wagner, the overture to his opera Rienzi, in a transcription for band. It was originally for orchestra, and the performance here by the Eastman Wind Ensemble from back in the 1950s, conducted by Frederick Fennell, who was at the time the director of that ensemble, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I played that for two reasons. One, of course, it's band music, and or more to the point, wind ensemble music. And on Sunday at the Krannert Center in Urbana is going to be the inaugural concert of the Illinois Wind Symphony under the direction of the new director of bands at the University of Illinois, Robert Rumbelow, and he's with me on the program today. But also because Robert Rumbelow is an alumnus of the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, got his doctorate of musical arts, I guess is the technical term, DMA, there, and other degrees elsewhere. And in any event, he was here actually on this program in the fall in advance of, after his official appointment, but before he actually started on the job. But you were here to conduct at the Allerton Music Barn Festival, the program of old wind band music on old instruments. I forget exactly what the program was, but we talked then, and you've had other experiences at the U of I since then. In any event, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here again.
So, how do you like Illinois?
Oh, it's terrific. You know, people have made fun of me that I'm moving in the winter, you know, as opposed to moving in the summer and getting acclimated to it, and then here's the winter. But I've enjoyed it. It's been great. The people are terrific. The students are very, very, not only are they terrific musicians, but they're really very accepting and have been very complimentary, and we've had a good dialogue already. Our relationship is off to a terrific start, and I really look forward to that growing deeper, both with the faculty that I'm working with and particularly with the students. We've had a wonderful month of rehearsals, and we're really looking forward to our performance this Sunday.
So this really is your first month on the job.
It is. We started rehearsals February 1st and concert February 28th.
Well, they were in session for 2 weeks. What were you doing for the first 2 weeks?
Auditions were generally happening during that first week. Yeah. And then we made sure that music went out second week for individual preparation. But I thought it would be best for me to start with them. This is our initial time. And so we allowed them to have a couple of rehearsals off so they could just, you know, work on their parts individually and prepare for the first rehearsal. And we had our first collective rehearsal together February 1st. And it was a terrific evening. It was a Monday night. And it's one that I'll remember, I think, as long as I'm living, because it was a terrific start together. And those are moments, pivotal moments that you remember.
Since you sort of talked a little bit about just the process here, which I wouldn't have actually thought to ask you about, but what is, as you've discovered it so far, the routine in working with bands from semester to semester? I mean, you do auditions for a while.
And yeah, usually there's just about a week of auditions, because we're dealing with anywhere between 600 and 850 musicians, depending on the semester.
No kidding.
And trying to place them in the various bands, and both concert and athletic bands, but trying to place everybody in the bands experiences that they would like to have, but also place them in appropriate curricular places for their development. It takes about a week to get all that settled out.
And what was your orientation before you got here, you know, to figure out, well, what does go on here at the University of Illinois?
Well, first of all, I had the luxury of being hired and accepting the position back in late April, early May. So I had all summer to ask questions and all the fall to ask questions, keep in contact, make visits when I could over weekends to try to just see how the program's running really, you know, talk to people from students to faculty to administrators, lots of meetings around campus. One of the things that's so wonderful, and I knew this is one of the reasons that this position was so attractive aside from its historical significance, is the fact that people love the band program here. I mean, it doesn't matter whether they were involved with it or not. There's a genuine love for wind music and the band program, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of it now.
And just some background for our listeners, you came from Schwab School of Music at Columbus, Georgia, Columbus State University, where you were director of wind ensemble.
That's right. I've been there for 14 years, and of course, that was a terrific job. I really enjoyed myself over the 14 years, and there was considerable progress, including, I think, some internationally renowned recordings, terrific guest soloists, and we built a really terrific wind program there over the last couple of decades. And I was fortunate enough to be a big part of that over the last 14 years. But it was a terrific experience. I really loved my position there. But, you know, when something like this comes along, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well, for those who really don't know, why you say that? Why do you say that? What makes Illinois such a big deal?
Well, there are so many reasons, but critically, the first thing is that we all learn about the University of Illinois bands as bandsmen in our education, because it was the first college band program in the U.S. So it set the model for what college band programs were. And for at least 80 years, until a lot of people started to catch up around the country and used University of Illinois as a model, it was the trailblazer. I like the sign that A.A. Harding, who was the first director of bands here, had on his table on his desk when you walked in. It said always something new. Well, of course it was always something new. They were developing the genre for the nation.
And since then, other programs, of course, have, I mean, there are many, many, many.
Sure. It's easier to follow suit than to trailblaze. Yeah. So there are many wonderful programs around our nation, but Illinois continues to be one of the most prestigious positions throughout the world, really. And I consider myself incredibly fortunate to be a part of that lineage.
Just out of curiosity, what are some of the others that have, you know, sort of vaunted reputations these days?
Well, of course, you just played a recording by the Eastman Wind Ensemble. When Frederick Fennell took that over in 1952, that was just a baby. That was the very first incarnation of his vision of wind music. But the core of his repertoire, as you just played, were transcriptions. And so a lot of the same things that University of Illinois had been doing for 60 years. Is where Fred started with the Eastman Wind Ensemble, but program has attracted a great attention over the years, as well as actually right here in the Big Ten, the Indiana program, the Michigan programs are what we would call core master programs around the U.S. Of course, University of Texas falls in there, as well as Florida State and Florida. And so there are several around the country that operate on this level, but none with the tradition and the legendary icons that have led this particular program have proven to be visionaries in their own right. And I'm hoping that I obviously step into some large shoes there, but I'm hoping that I'm able to continue that tradition of leading the profession.
And I feel compelled to ask, as an alumnus of Northwestern, where do they fit into this?
I should have mentioned Northwestern. You're right.
The Big Ten's
been big.
That wasn't a setup.
You're right. Yeah, John Painter, particularly, his many, many years there set the Northwestern wind program apart from others, joining that elite group that Illinois has enjoyed being in since its inception.
Of course, he passed some years ago now.
Indeed, yeah.
Mallory Thompson is the...
Mallory's the director of bands now.
Is she still one of the few female directors of bands?
Yeah, you know, there are more around our profession now, and I think that's a very healthy thing, and I'm happy to call many of them my friends, but Mallory and I have known each other for a while. She's also an Eastman alumnus. Got her a doctorate there with Donald Hunsberger, who I studied with as well. And so we've been in contact through that connection, really ever since I started my work at Eastman way back in 93. Yeah, that was when I went to go get my doctorate there. But, Mallory is a fabulous musician and a wonderful representative of wind literature.
You mentioned in talking about Eastman and Frederick Fennell that the example we heard and a lot of what he did with that wind ensemble were transcriptions, by which you meant rearrangements of orchestral music for the wind literature, and alluded that that happened a lot at U of I.
Indeed. Yeah, in fact, that happened really worldwide with bands because there wasn't an original repertoire, or at least a core repertoire, for the wind ensemble aside from marches and small entertainment pieces. And so, of course, Sousa and many others had contributed marches and suites to the repertoire, but it lacked a critical serious repertoire, and so they borrowed it from the orchestral repertoire at first. And Fred Fennell, as well as many of the other leaders around the world, took that and made it their own, but also started adding and encouraging composers to write for winds and to give it its own voice, so to speak. And, of course, the history will look back and see that there has been a critical mass of repertoire conceived specifically for wind instruments. And we have a history of that. Mozart wrote for winds. Strauss, which we were doing one of Richard Strauss's works on this concert, wrote for winds alone in original format. But when we think about the large concert band, that was really a 20th century phenomenon.
But at the University of Illinois, the transcription thing has been going on for
huge,
quite some time.
Right. In fact, is, again, trailblazers. We talk about our second, actually our first director of bands, A.A. Harding, wrote some wonderful transcriptions and set the model for what was to come. But Mark Hinesley, who was the second director of bands here, probably has the largest and deepest catalog. I don't know how he found time to write that much, but it is incredible. I wish I knew exactly what the total number of transcriptions he did, but it is an amazing catalog of really all the finest symphonic works transcribed for band. And these arrangements and transcriptions continue to sell worldwide today.
And you're doing one of them on Sunday's concert.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as my debut concert with the Illinois Wind Symphony, this program was... I spent a lot of time thinking about, and I always do, of course, you know, for curricular reasons, what we're supplying for the students. But this particular debut concert, I really needed to make sure that I was tipping my hat properly to everything that came before. So the program includes a work that every one of the director of bands here had conducted in the Holst First Suite, which is a piece of original repertoire written in 1909. But also tipping my hat to one of the great transcribers and arrangers in the history of bands, Mark Hinesley. And I'm doing one of his transcriptions, the March Militaire Français by Cezanne, on this program.
And we happen to have a recording.
Outstanding. Good job.
by the University of Illinois Symphonic Band. James Keane was the conductor. He was the fourth director of bands.
That's correct.
Leaving out Jim Curnow? Curnow? No. Who was here very briefly.
Oh, well, before Jim, the director of bands was Harry Beejan.
But there was somebody
Jim
who
Curnow
was...
Jim Curnow was
like
interim.
Interim.
He was a one-year interim.
That's what I was thinking of.
That's right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I got that name right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, James Keane, the recently departed. Well, let's rephrase
Not
that.
Particularly departed.
He's not departed. Recently retired.
Indeed. And living happily in Texas.
Living, the emphatic word right there. In any event, here's James F. Keane conducting the University of Illinois Symphonic Band, the French Military March of Camille Saint-Saëns, transcribed by Mark H. Hinesley and heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. It's the University of Illinois Symphonic Band, led by James F. Keane, who is now a director of bands emeritus at the University of Illinois. Music by Camille Saint-Saëns, his Marche Militaire Française, or simply French Military March. In the transcription from the orchestral original by Mark H. Hinesley, who was the second director of bands at the University of Illinois. And I'm sitting in the studio with the fifth director of bands, who is brand new as of this semester, Robert Rumbelow. And very pleased again to have you on the show today.
Indeed, always a pleasure. And I'm so happy that you were able to play that transcription from Mark Hinesley. I like to think I follow a little bit in his tradition as well, because on this concert on Sunday, you'll hear a transcription that I did based on the Triumphal March and ballet music from Aida. And I think that that lineage will continue as far as good arrangements, as well as performing new music that's being written for the ensemble as well.
And since you mentioned it, I'm queuing that up right now. I was going to do something else, but that's you've made a nice transition to that, and make sure I've got the right music here. Now, we're going to hear the orchestral original, so people are going to have to imagine, sort of using the sound we just heard, how it might turn into a wind band piece. This is the Grand March. Here it's called the Grand March, but I think it's the same thing, Triumphal March.
It is. It probably doesn't have all the ballet music inserted, and so I've taken it.
This one has some of it, maybe.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. We'll see how this compares.
This is an orchestra whose name I can never translate. But it's the orchestra of the Teatro Comunale di Bologna, so of Communal or Community Theater of Bologna, something like that, conducted by Riccardo Chailly, music by Giuseppe Verdi, here on Live and Local, my guest Robert Rumbelow on FM 90.9. Was music by Giuseppe Verdi from his opera Aida. We heard the Grand March and some of the ballet music in a performance conducted by Riccardo Chailly. And as Dr. Rumbelow pointed out as we were listening there, some intonational issues with the trumpets that he vows won't happen on Sunday with.
That's correct. Yes, you're going to enjoy Sunday's performance. And actually, the transcription that you will hear on Sunday will be a little bit different than what you heard as well. It includes some other music within the opera as well.
Sure, but the theme there, you know, the bam, ba da da dim, ba, that'll be there.
Absolutely, yes. No, the Triumphal March will be there nice and solid.
Yeah, and and Robert Rumbelow is the new director of bands at the University of Illinois, and his official musical charge is to lead the Illinois Wind Symphony. That's the one band assigned to you, correct?
That's correct.
And there are a bunch of other bands assigned to assistant directors and so on, but this is his inaugural concert this coming Sunday, the 28th, with that group at 7:30 in the evening. A couple of the other bands are performing earlier in the day.
That's right. There'll be two other bands performing earlier in the day. Our Symphonic Band 1 and Symphonic Band 2 will both be performing.
And there are how many bands at the U of I?
Well, if you include everything, including volleyball band, we have about 14 bands.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And you said earlier, what did you say, like 800-some
anywhere between
students?
6 and 850 students, depending on the year and semester that we service each semester.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. And you've got a few assistant directors.
Absolutely. We're very fortunate, and of course we are still very busy, but we are very fortunate to have three other conductors on faculty with me, Robbie George, Abel Ramirez, and Peter Griffin. And Pete's been here for a number of years. He's also the director of the Marching Illini and heads up our athletic band side of things. And generally, my responsibility is oversight and vision and coordination of all these ensembles and the curriculum and experiences that they offer our students, in addition to what we offer the community.
I want to ask you in just a minute a little bit about the art of transcription, but first, let me tell listeners that our broadcast today is made possible with support from these business partners: Birch Tree Counseling and Consulting of Champaign, Cannon Farm of Camargo, Carpet Weavers of Champaign, and Dick's Pharmacy of Arthur. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible, and we thank you very much, and we thank all listeners who support this station with your financial contributions. When you're taking an orchestral piece, or for that matter, a piano piece, I don't know if you ever do that for band.
Yes.
What are the things you have to consider in turning it into a piece for band or wind ensemble?
Well, there are a couple of schools of thought. I mean, one is that there's a specific assignment associated with, for instance, first violins, first clarinets. And that's one style of doing a transcription. The other one is the one that I ascribe to just a little bit more specifically, although there's always a mixture, is that... the idea that, okay, we're going to take this terrific piece of music written by a composer and then re-articulate it with new sounds so that anything is fair game in terms of assignments of particular lines or melodies or harmony so that you think that it embodies the spirit of the work itself. It's particularly engaging when you're taking a piano work because they can be played in so many different ways, and different pianists bring out certain lines and various colors with their touch, that you try to find the essence of the music that the composer is writing, and try to rearticulate that so that the essence of the music remains unchanged. However, that might be an oboe solo in the original, and it may be a trumpet solo in the band transcription.
Even though you've got oboes in the band.
Even though you have oboes in the band. And so since you're working with a new palette of colors, often we're looking with color separation. So, for instance, if the woodwinds were already playing something, having the oboe as the soloist in that particular context may not have offered the diversity that it offered in the original orchestral version.
Because you have nothing but... woodwinds,
nothing
and brass.
Nothing but woodwinds, brass, and percussion. Exactly. And so I think there's a tremendous amount of creativity, which this is another reason I'm so impressed with the Hinesley collection. He just did so many, and they're all of great quality.
You said earlier that, of course, once you got beyond transcriptions, which, of course, people are still doing, as you are, somewhere in the early 20th century...
Mm-hmm.
There started to develop a real repertoire for the wind band.
Absolutely. And we get a lot of this from the British tradition. Just right at the turn of the century, major composers like Gustav Holst started writing specific for what was then called military band. A military band is actually it had nothing to do with the military. It was a distinction between band, which was brass band, very popular in England, and band that included woodwind section. And so the woodwind section, by having that woodwind section, they referred to it as a military band. So we had the woodwinds, brass, and percussion. And, of course, we took our concert band model as Americans from that. And composers have been writing for winds throughout history. But as far as the large concert band, this is mostly a 20th century phenomenon. And we have developed a terrific catalog of works by major composers, including the very first work on our concert by William Schumann, written in the 50s, and it is doing everything that composers were trying to push the envelope on in the 1950s. In this case, experimenting with how triads move against each other, and we get some terrific sounds. Some of them may sound a little jazzy because they may end up, by coincidence, being extra tertian harmony, or in other words, stacked thirds, so we get a lot of richer harmony. But in this case, Schumann is really seeing how chords react, triads, just basic chords reacted against each other as they moved around. And a lot of composers were doing this in the 50s. So this is very avant-garde composition for the 50s, but it's become a nice piece in our repertoire, in our very large repertoire now of wind music, original wind music. And this is something, of course, that Professor Keane and Beejin both performed during their tenure here. And I'm happy to begin our concert with it because it makes a grand statement. Schumann's vision of this is the actual George Washington Bridge when you come into New York, and he had flown over this, he'd boated under it, he had driven over it, and he'd walked over it, biked over it. This was a big part of his day, was this bridge, and it's monumental stature. It's a solidity, it's firmness, it's almost a American resolve, if you will. It's a dramatic entrance to the city and something that he respected a great deal. And so you feel the drama and the mass and the firmness of this structure at the very beginning of the piece. And as a little aside, the piece is structured as far as the way that it unfolds in what we call bridge form. In other words, it starts as it ends, and then there's a middle section. And so it's a very on many levels, it's an impression for band of the George Washington Bridge.
And it's music by William Schumann. Here is at least some of it in a performance by the Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music Wind Symphony, conducted by Eugene Corporon on FM 90.9. Well, there you get a very good idea of William Schumann's George Washington Bridge from 1950, a performance here by the Wind Symphony at the Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. Eugene Corporon was the conductor there. He's now at North Texas,
that's correct.
Yeah, and my guest today on Live and Local is Robert Rimbelow, who is the director of bands, new director of bands at the University of Illinois, and he's giving his first concert with the Illinois Wind Symphony this coming Sunday at 7:30 in the evening at the Krannert Center in Urbana, and that work will open the program, which also includes music by Richard Strauss for Wind Symphony, or Wind Ensemble. It's for his Serenade for Winds. And also, as we heard earlier, Dr. Rumbelow's own transcription of music from Verdi's Aida, and the wonderful first suite for band. It was the first suite for bands.
The first suite for bands
by Gustav Holst, and some other music as well. Is there any trend in current wind band writing?
Oh, sure. In fact, it parallels very directly what's going on with this cutting-edge composition in general for whether it be orchestra or chamber music or solo repertoire. Composers now see, I believe, overall, the wind medium as a viable medium, and they'll write just the same way with their own voice. So Joseph Schwantner or a younger composer named Christopher Theophanidis, they write for all different kinds of ensembles, and the wind ensemble is one of those artistic mediums that will allow them to express their voice in a different and new way. And so it really is in parallel with all current trends in music composition.
It seems to me that a lot of, in orchestral music, a lot of the newer music, at least American music, is, for lack of a better term, more listenable than some of it has been for a very long time.
Absolutely. I think we came through a time where it was almost scary to an audience, and now we've come back around again to there are new sounds, there are fresh ways to listen to music, certainly new things to say from fresh voices, but not necessarily threatening.
and again, that trend is true in wind band writing as well.
Indeed.
You, on Sunday's program, you have a couple of wonderful soloists, one of whom is on faculty here, Ronald Rahm, who was still one of the trumpeters in the Canadian Brass.
Well, has retired from Canadian Brass, but was one of the first trumpeters there and was there forever. And
he still plays with them.
From time to time.
But you also landed the still new-ish principal trumpet player of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Christopher Martin. How did you manage that?
That's right. Well, Chris and I go way back. I know his dad, Freddie Martin, who's a terrific music educator in the state of Georgia. And I knew Chris when he was an undergraduate at Eastman when I was getting my doctorate. Of course, when he finished his undergraduate, he landed the second trumpet position in the Philadelphia Orchestra, so not too shabby. Still a very, very young player, but one of the most dynamic trumpet players in the world right now. And we are really fortunate to have he and Ronnie Rahm paired up together. I mean, this is like the dream team of trumpet players.
No kidding. Well, and the principal position in Chicago had to be one of the coveted trumpet jobs in the world.
Oh, trying to step into Bud Herseth's shoes. I mean, Bud had been there for years, and he set the model on how to play a lot of the symphonic repertoire. Talk about stepping into some big shoes like I have. Chris did the same thing. He was principal in Atlanta previous to this his appointment there in Chicago. But Chris is shouldering it well. Chris is really loved by trumpet players around the country, and his artistry speaks for itself. And this is something you do not want to miss. If you're on the fence at all about going to the concert, you need to come hear the Carmen Fantasia. Music by Bizet, arranged by Donald Hunsberger, for two trumpet soloists and wind ensemble. It is a tour de force for everyone involved. We also have two percussion soloists on it that are paired with each of the trumpet soloists. So on either side of my conducting podium, there'll be a trumpet soloist and a percussion soloist, and likewise on the other side, featuring our two outstanding and quite famous percussion professors here at the University of Illinois, Ricardo Flores and William Mersch.
And probably in the other way, in the order, other order, just because William Mersch is the head of that department.
Indeed. I went alphabetically.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah, we don't want to slight them in that. I was going to ask how that all worked. And
right. Well, you'll see them all up at the front side of the stage, and it's a terrific dialogue. You actually really could feel and see some of the interplay of the opera between these soloists as they play the various arias and duets throughout the throughout the performance. This setting, this Fantasia, is almost half an hour long. That's why it's almost the entire second half of the concert.
Well, and that's kind of interesting because there's a pretty well-known transcription of a lot of the music from Carmen for percussion ensemble alone.
Indeed.
Which is just splendid.
It
I'm
is
actually
amazing.
Blanking on the person who did that. Do you
remember
offhand? I've played it a number of times here, and I'll think of it as soon as we go off the air. But I wonder who influenced whom in that case.
Indeed.
So that should be a lot of fun to see. Okay, well, Robert Rumbelow, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'm sure we'll have you many times more. This is just, I guess, the second time in what we all hope will be a long tenure for you here at University of Illinois. New director of bands at the U of I, the Illinois Wind Symphony, playing for the first time under Dr. Rumbelow's leadership this coming Sunday night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana in the Follinger Great Hall there. Wonderful sounding program that pays tribute to the University of Illinois band tradition. Should be a great show. Thanks again.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And one of the pieces that will be on an upcoming concert with the Wind Symphony led by Dr. Rumbelow is this music by Percy Grainger, originally written for the band with the wonderful title, actually referring to the chewing of eucalyptus leaves in Australia. It's called the Gumsucker's March here on Live and Local.